Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Awesome. God ain't playing today. He is not playing. He is like, he's ready to challenge us so big today. Here's what I want you to do. Get out your Bibles. Get them out. If it's on a device, hold it up. And I want you to say this with me. You ready? This is my Bible. It is the very Word of God. Inside this book is the very direction for my life, and I choose to obey it. This is my Bible, and I love it. Amen. Well, we are starting a new sermon series today. If you want to open up your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. You can just hold it there. We're going to be in a couple of different spots, but that's our main spot today. We're starting a new series today. And you're going to just have to, like, be patient with me if I have to take some deep breaths because, like, I've just felt really overwhelmed by Holy Spirit during worship today. And, yeah. So, I got to slow myself down. That's why I'm just, like, trying to slow myself down so I can properly talk to you about what God wants to share with you today, because it's so, so powerful. We're starting a new series called Treasure Hunt. And when I was thinking about this series, Treasure Hunt, I was thinking about how when I was raising my kids, Jason and I have four kids, and when I was raising my kids loved Easter egg hunts. Like, they loved them. There was this delight and excitement that came from going outside into the yard, or if it was raining, you know, in the house, to find the things that were hidden. And not only was there the excitement of, like, finding the hidden thing, the hidden egg, but there was this anticipation for what was inside of the egg. Because, listen, I was a good Easter egg hider and Easter egg stuffer. Because I would put, you know, I put jelly beans and some chocolate in there. But I also put money inside the Easter eggs, right? And my kids knew, like, if we had money, like, that means when we go to the store, I can buy something. And so there was this anticipation, like, whoo, what's inside this egg? How many dollar bills, how many quarters are going to be inside this egg? And for several days, sometimes even several weeks after Easter had passed, my kids would be like, Mom, can you hide the eggs again? Even though that they were empty. Like, there's nothing else inside of them, right? There's that excitement, that rush that comes from finding the hidden things. There's hidden things in God's Word. There's hidden things in here that I still have yet to discover. There's things hidden in here that you still have yet to discover. And as my kids got older, I found that they kind of switched from, like, wanting to hide Easter eggs, although, listen, the nobles still love a good Easter egg hunt, okay? But their attention and their, like, attraction turned more to, like, movies that celebrated the hidden things, like Pirates of the Caribbean and National Treasure and Indiana Jones, where things are like, the whole point of the movie is to find the hidden object, right? And, you know, even you and I tend to gravitate towards the things that are hidden. Our society, I don't even think they realize this. I don't think that people that do this, that produce movies about hidden things, that produce publications about hidden things, they realize what they're doing. Because do you know, like, how many of you enjoy a good word search? Do we have a word search up there? No word search? Like, all of the letters, and then you're trying, look, okay? look at these word search, right? And it's like this treasure hunt trying to find the hidden word in all of this. And there's like this joy that comes over you and you're like, oh, I found the word treasure, right? It's like, whoa. Or what about Where's Waldo? Right? These books, Where's Waldo? When you turn the page and the whole point of it is to search for Waldo. Where is he? Is he on here? Anywhere, right? There's this anticipation, like, who's going to be first? I want to be first. I still don't know where he is.
He's super tall on the left.
He's super tall on the left.
On the right.
Okay, well, he's gone now. What about this? Do you guys remember Highlights? Right? And there was always like a page that had the hidden pictures in it. And you had to like find the hidden things in here. And you had to like circle them. Like, who would have ever thought that hidden inside of this ore is a needle? Right? Who would have ever thought that hidden inside the flowers is a bell? Right? Like, there's the hidden things that draw us in. Like, I gotta find it. I gotta find it. Well, this love of hide and seek, of finding the hidden things, is actually imparted into our spirit. And even the world who has not come to know Christ, every person on this planet is created in the image of God with the same spirit of Christ that's just waiting to emerge and come alive within them. And so even without people knowing it, they're producing things that celebrate seeking out the hidden. Because our spirits are longing to find that which is hidden. Do you hear me? Even when people don't recognize it, there's something within us that is longing to seek out the hidden. The purpose of that, the purpose of imparting that into our spirit, is because God wants us to seek out his presence and learn more about him. That's the whole purpose. You know, the word search, the Where's Waldo, the hidden pictures, the treasure hunt movies, those are all like faux treasure hunts. They're all faux ways that the world uses to try to like satisfy this longing to find the hidden.
Yep.
It's all about that. That is okay. There's questions. All right? It's a longing to find out what's hidden because it's imparted into our spirits. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 to 14, God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah and he said this: you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares. Do you hear that? Do you hear what God said? I will be found by you. He isn't hiding himself from us, being like, you'll never find me. Keep looking, but you'll never find me. No, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you up from all the nations and places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from which I sent you to exile. Some of you have been living in exile. Some of you in this room have been living in a land that is far from God's presence. And he's saying, if you will seek me out, if you will look for me, you will find me. And I will bring you back from this land that is without my presence. There's something within us that longs to seek out the things of God. And we said this a few weeks ago, that one of the very reasons Jesus used parables in the Bible was to get us to do exactly this, to seek him out, to seek out the deeper meaning, and then to celebrate the discovery. This series called Treasure Hunt is all about seeking out the hidden things. Seeking it out. And it's looking at some parables in which seeking hidden treasures is celebrated and compared to understanding the kingdom principle of seeking and finding. This first message of this series is entitled, Worth It All. Worth It All. Let's read in Matthew chapter 13, 44 to 46 to see why. Why is this called Worth It All? Are you about to find out? Here we go. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again. And then sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Are you getting the hang of why it's called Worth It All? There's a couple of things I wanted to point out about these parables today. The first thing is this. Finding treasure is exciting. Do you see that first man in Matthew chapter 13? It says, in his excitement, right? He found this treasure, and it says, in his excitement, it is exciting to find treasure, right? It is exciting. Just like kids playing hide and seek or kids having an Easter. You know what? At the job where I work, because I'm bivocational, and in my job, my Monday through Friday job, every year one of the departments at our facility puts on what's called a duck hunt. And they take thousands of these little pink plastic ducks and hide them all over the facility. Okay, my facility is like a mile, like a square mile, okay? It's big. And they hide them all over, inside, outside. And wouldn't you know, grown men and women on their lunch breaks and on their 15-minute breaks are out in the hallways and outside like this. And you know what? Nobody cares what we look like. Because they're like, we're like, I'm going to find a duck. The prize, I don't know, we get a ticket. And I don't know what comes from it because I've never won anything. Okay? But there's still fun in finding the ducks. I even called someone out a couple months ago. I was walking down the hall behind him and I saw him like going like this. Stop hunting for eggs and get back to work. There's this fun and excitement in finding treasure, and the two people in these parables were excited to find the treasure that they were looking for. And within these two parables, it mentions the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven refers to like our spiritual journey here on earth. It refers to the fact that why we live here, there is kingdom principles that we adhere to that are not of the world that we live in. Yes. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's kingdom principles that direct us and guide us that are not part of the world that we live in. It begins. Kingdom living and seeking out things of the kingdom begins at the point of salvation. The moment we say, Jesus, I recognize I need you. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your gift of salvation that you paid for on that cross by the shedding of your blood. And I receive that forgiveness, and I give you permission now to lead my life. That's the point of salvation, right? But our spiritual journey doesn't stop there. If it has stopped there, you are stunted. And it's time to take your next step.
Yeah,
right? Our spiritual journey, us living in the kingdom and seeking out the kingdom principles, continues through our entire life. Just like the man who discovered the treasure in the field, and he buried it again to be discovered again and again and again. We're going to be discovering hidden treasures in God's word our entire life. There are things, I have read my Bible from front to back multiple times, and I still find hidden things when I read. Like, I've never read that before, or I never found that before, I never understood that before. Because there is no way for our finite selves to consume and absorb everything that we read from God's word at once. It's impossible. We are not capable of it. That's why we have to be disciplined and stay in his word and keep reading his word and let him reveal more and more and more things to us.
Amen.
Every new understanding of God's word is like a new treasure that we discover, right? It's exciting. It's exhilarating. Well, that was the fun part of the message. The next part, I don't know. It's serious business. Finding treasure requires discipline. Oh, now you ruined it. I was all about the excitement and finding it. What do you mean it requires discipline? Well, you're not going to find it if you don't look. Right? It takes discipline to look for treasure. The people in these parables, the two men in these parables, didn't find the treasure right away. They were disciplined to keep looking and keep looking and keep looking. It requires discipline, and we have to practice spiritual disciplines within our lives to uncover hidden treasures in Scripture and in the kingdom. Because not every hidden thing that we discover is going to be found when we are reading God's word. It might come from us listening to a sermon online, us listening to a book online. Jason and I just had this huge discovery, like this understanding that we had never even had before, listening to a book last week. And the author was talking about the idea of crucifying our flesh. No, Pastor Paulo, that was last year. That was Bear Good Fruit. We talked about that last year. Yeah, well, if we don't talk about it every single time we're together, then we're missing something, because that is what walking in the Spirit is about. It's about crucifying our flesh and crucifying our sinful desires to the cross of Christ. But the author was talking about why does the Bible talk about this as, why does it use the idea of crucifixion? And it's because crucifixion was a slow death. It was not immediate. Crucifixion in the Roman days, in the Roman era, could take up to 6 days. Ooh. How many of us think that, like, oh man, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to behave this way anymore. I don't want to participate in this act of the flesh. I don't want to participate in this sin anymore. So Jesus, I'm giving it to you with this expectation of now I'm never going to be tempted again. Da-da-da. Life is great now, right? Mm-mm. Crucifying our sinful desires to the cross of Christ Jesus is slow and painful, and it takes discipline, right? And we, as we listen to this, we are like, whoa, that's it right there. No wonder the Bible uses the analogy of crucifying our flesh. It's not a one-time fix-all. It is long over time, a long dying to ourself, a long saying, nope, I want to, but nope, but I want to, but nope, but I really want to, but nope. That's what it looks like every day, every day, every day. And we have to practice spiritual disciplines in order to have the ability to say no to our sinful desires. Some of those spiritual disciplines is prayer. Not just like, dear Jesus, please help me today, amen. Okay? Prayer is a constant conversation with our Creator. In every area, in every moment of our life. Listen, I find myself talking to Jesus all day long. I need help finding my car keys. I'm talking to Jesus. Like, where did I put those? You know where they are. Can you tell me where they are? That's really not me. I know where my car keys are. Bible reading. Listen, you need to be in this word every day. I'm not going to tell you like how much you need to be reading every day, but you need to be reading this word every single day. If you don't know where to start, come find one of us. We'll help you get on a Bible reading plan on the YouVersion app. We'll help you find what you need to read so that you can start reading God's word on a daily basis. I'm not giving you a prescribed, like you have to read 4 chapters a day. That's not it. It's about reading, doing it. That's it. But you need to be reading God's word every single day. What about the spiritual discipline of fasting? Oh, listen, there's something about saying no to our flesh and our needs and spending that time that we would be eating or whatever else you might be saying no to and spending time with Jesus. Yesterday, we had one of the most powerful soul cares we've had. The Holy Spirit was so heavy in this place. God moved. God showed up. And I believe it is because our leadership team had been praying and fasting all throughout the week for soul care. And they showed up excited and ready to go. What about the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude? Spending time in silence. Without any distractions and any outside noise, just in God's presence. Alone. Not with anybody else. Silence and solitude. The spiritual discipline of Sabbath, where we take one day and we stop. We stop our work. We stop our consumptions. We stop. We worship. We rest, and we do things that delight our souls. It takes discipline. We also have to be disciplined about who we spend our time with. Woo! Listen, God is not telling us that we need to like be in a little holy huddle all the time and not associate with people who are not believers. That's not that part at all. But it is important that the people we are allowing to influence us are the ones that are like-minded with us. Right? That we are spending time with fellow believers who we can sit around a table with, sounds like life group, and talk about the things of God and sharpen each other's soul and spirit. Like last Sunday, Jason and I, we just gathered some people that were still around. We're like, you want to go have lunch? And there was like 7 of us sitting at this table together, all just talking about the things of God. And it was so exhilarating. It was so good. Well, that's a spiritual principle. Did you know that? In Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. So how do you want to be sharpened? Do you want to be sharpened in the ways of your sinful desires with people that are participating in the very ways that God's saying don't do that? Or do you want to be sharpened in the ways of your spiritual disciplines that is like pointing you into the kingdom and sharpening you for what God is calling you to do? We have to be the influencer in this. The last point is this. You're going to hate it. Finding treasure requires sacrifice. Finding treasure requires sacrifice. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up at this point. The men in these two parables sold everything they owned. Do you hear me? Everything. Everything. What does that word mean? They gave it all. They sold everything they owned in order to purchase what they had found. In order to purchase what they had found, they gave it all up. Because what they found was worth it. They recognized what they found was worth everything they considered valuable. If I am going to continue to grow and get closer to God, it's going to cost me everything. Do you hear me? Everything. It's going to cost me my own will, my own desires. It's going to cost me friends. It's going to cost me my identity. It's going to cost me my ambitions. It's going to cost me my name. It's going to cost me my reputation. It's going to cost me everything that I hold dear. I think back to a book that I read, and Pastor Bill Johnson said that he was asking God, like, God, I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it costs. I just want more of you. I just want more of you. Whatever that looks like, I just want more of you. And God spoke to me and he said, it's going to cost you your dignity. And he said, I don't care. I'll take it. That's fine. If I get you in return, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. If all I get is you, it's worth it all. You can have it all. You can have my dignity. You can have my name. You can have my reputation. You can have my house. You can have my land. You can have my car. If I have more of Jesus in return, take it all. Take it all. Because it's not mine. It's not mine. Jesus doesn't just want one or two parts of you. He wants it all. And he will not be satisfied until he has it. In Luke chapter 14, verse 26 to 28, and then verse 33, it says this. If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and mother, your wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. That's what Jesus says. Like, nothing can be more important to you than me. Nothing can be more important to you than me. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. If you can't give it all up, you can't be his disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, and that sounds like crucifixion, right? You cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? So you cannot be my disciple without first giving up everything you own. Here's what Jesus is saying. You need me, but you can't afford me until you're willing to give it all up. You need me. You need him. But until you're willing to say, I'm letting it all go, you can't afford him. But I will tell you this, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. We get eternity with him. We get immeasurable blessing on this earth. And we get a deep satisfaction in our spirit that can never be satisfied by anything outside of him. But it costs us everything. With every head bowed and eyes closed in this place, this is a heavy message. And I believe there might be some of you in this room that you will recognize, like, I have not said yes to Jesus. I have not given him myself. And I recognize that I need to pay the price. It's time for me to say yes to Jesus. And this is a weighty decision, but today I'm saying yes.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.